Good morning. So this week's parsha, we read about the tzaras of the home, which are called nigei batim. And the pasuk tells us, we'll just read the pasukim inside to get a little bit of a feel. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe ve'al Aaron le'mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Ki savo el eretz kanan, asher ani nosein lechem la'achuza, v'natati nega tzaras beveis eretz achuzaschem. When you arrive in the land of Canaan that I give you as a possession, I'm going to place tzaras affliction upon a house in the land of your possession. Uba asher lo habayit v'igid lakoin le'mor, k'negen areli babayit. And the person who the house belongs to is going to comes to the Kohen, and he says to him, something like a nega, like an affliction, has appeared to me on my home. V'tziva Kohen upinu et habayit, v'terem yavo Kohen l'rot et hanega, v'lo yitameh kol asher babayit, v'achar kein yavo Kohen l'rot et habayit. So the Kohen shall command, and they shall clean the house before the Kohen comes to look at the affliction. So everything in the house should not become contaminated. And afterward, the Kohen comes to look at the house. V'ra'at ha'nega, v'inei ha'nega b'kirot ha'bayit, shikarurot yirakrot, o adzmumot, umar'ehen shafal min hakir. And he looks at the affliction, and behold, it's in the walls of the house, it's depressed, deep greens and reds, that the appearance is lower than the wall. And the Kohen leaves the house and through the entrance, and he basically quarantines the house for 7 days. And we'll just continue. Just the Kohen returns on the seventh day, and he looks and he sees that the affliction has spread to the walls of the house. And the Kohen commands, and they remove the stones that contain the afflictions, and they put them outside the city, into a contaminated place. And the house is to be scraped on the inside, all around. The mortar they have scraped, they are pour on the outside, in places of the stones, the outside to the city. And basically they shall take other stones and bring them in the places of the stones, and they shall take other mortar and plaster the house. I'm reading from the English translation of the Art Scroll. If the affliction returns and erupts in the house, after he has removed the stones, after he has scraped the house, and after plastering, then the Kohen shall come and look, and behold, the affliction has spread into the house. And it's basically a malignant tzaras in the house, and it's contaminated. And what does he have to do? He has to demolish the house, its stones, its timber, and all the mortar in the house, and they shall take it into the outside of the city to a contaminated place. Anyone who comes into the house during all the days he has quarantined, it shall be contaminated until evening. But one who reclines in the house shall immerse in his garments, and one who eats in the house shall immerse his garments. Okay, so basically, if the Kohen comes back after the quarantine and he sees that it's spread, then they have to take another step and another step. So finally, the house actually has to be demolished. And if the Kohen is to come and look, and behold, the affliction has not spread in the house after plastering of the house, then the Kohen shall declare the house to be pure, for the affliction has healed. To purify the house, he shall take two birds, cedar wood, crimson thread, and hyssop. He shall slaughter the one bird into the earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the crimson thread, and the live bird, and he shall dip it into the blood of the slaughtered bird and into the fresh water, and he shall sprinkle it upon the house 7 times. He shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the fresh water and with the live bird, with the cedar wood, with the hyssop, and with the crimson thread. He shall set the live bird free toward the outside of the city upon the open field. Thus he shall provide atonement for the house, and it shall be purified. Okay? So basically, this is the story. A person sees tzaras on his house. He goes to the Kohen. He says, it looks like I have an affliction on in my home. The Kohen comes to investigate, and so on and so forth. Okay.
If you live in the house?
No, you have to leave.
No, but if you eat in the house, then you have to
immerse. Yeah, during this whole process, yes. But at the beginning, you take out everything, you leave, and you quarantine the house. And Rashi says on this, the beginning, he says, V'natati nega tzaras. Hashem says, I'm going to give this, you know, tzaras type affliction on your house. And he says, "Besura hilahem shenagim ba'am aleihem." He says it's a besura, meaning something positive, that these nigaim, that these afflictions come onto them. Lefi shetim tzminu emoriim matmonio chelzaha b'kiro pateim kol areim shana shayu yisrael b'midbar va'ayidei hanega noteta bayit umotzan. So Rashi says, actually, this is a positive thing, because the Emori, when they were living in the land of Israel while we were in the 40 years in the desert, they would bury treasures in the walls of the house. And when God would put the affliction on the walls, which would cause us to take it apart, we would discover the treasures, and therefore it's something positive. It's actually good news. And we see from the word vinatati, Hashem says, I will give you, as opposed to vinegataras kitiyah, when we talk about other situations of taras, this is a basura, it's news to them. It has a positive connotation, it says, I will give it to you, kind of like I'm giving you a present. And the Gemara in Erchin Tetzayin Amar Aleph contradicts this idea and says that the Nigei Batim are a punishment for Gezel, for robbery, and for Tzaras Ayin, for stinginess. And we learn this from the Pesukim, which say, V'tziva kohen epinu atabayit, tana u kinesi yavo akohen v'yifazer mamono, that basically it's a punishment for stealing, because what happens? You have to take out all your possessions from the house, right? And so therefore, the Kohen's going to come, and everything's going to be out on the outside, and people are going to say, hey, wait a second, that lawnmower looks familiar, or oh, that's my missing shovel, etc., etc. And it's a punishment for stealing, because now, basically, you're being revealed to the world for what you have done, that you're a thief. And also for Tzaras Ayin, for stinginess, Dechtiv, like the Pasuk says, Uba Asher Elo HaBayit, Utsna Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, Mishem Yuchad Beit Olo. A person who makes his house only for himself, and he doesn't share it with others. And now, all of a sudden, it's not mine, and I have to open it up, and I have to leave. So again, according to the Gemara, this is not a positive thing, but it's actually a punishment. So then how do we understand the Nigei Batim? You know, is it a good thing, or is it a bad thing? And furthermore, if it is a good thing, as Rashi says, then why does the Baal HaBayis have to bring a carbon kapara and tahara on all this? We said there's a whole process. He has to take two birds and hyssop and crimson, etc., etc. So why then does he need to have this process? And the Ramban, in explaining the Nigei Batim, he says, Zeha Anyan Eino B'teva Klal V'lo Hava Ba'olam. He says, don't think that these afflictions are natural. These are not natural at all. Nor, he says, does this situation occur in the world, meaning outside of the situation that the Torah describes, outside of these facts and circumstances, this does not occur. And it is not natural at all. V'kein nigei habatim, aval b'yot Yisrael shleimim la'ashem, yeh ruach Hashem tamid aleihem la'amid gufam, u'bigdehem, u'bateihem b'mara tov. And he says, when the Ruach Hashem is on, when Bnei Yisrael are complete with Hashem, when they're one, when they're connected, and Hashem's Ruach, the Spirit, resides on them, then their clothing and their houses and their bodies have a beautiful appearance. Maratov. Ukasher yikre b'achad mehem, tzvar cheifa avon, yitzrek ki ur b'besoro, u b'bigdo, u b'beito, la'arot, ki Hashem sar me'olav. Ulukacha marakatzav, v'natati negataras b'beit eret achuzastem, achuzaschem, ki hi makas Hashem b'bayit ahu. And basically, when a sin occurs to the individual, basically a mark of disgust is going to appear on his flesh or on his clothing or on his home, demonstrating that what? That Hashem has turned from him. That they are no longer one and the same. There is no longer this beautiful harmony and symphony and therefore this beauty. But there is some sort of removal. And therefore there is a mark of disgust that either appears on the house, on the clothing, or on the body. In fact, the Kuzari writes, Ki ashchina haisa b'Yisrael b'madrigas that the Shekhinah occupies in Yisrael the same place as the spirit of life in the human body, and it gives them a divine life, and it allows them to find luster and beauty and light in their souls and in their bodies and in their dispositions. Ube'et shemitrachakes mehem mistakeles atasam vayitbaru guvosam vishnei yofiam kushim etrachet miyachidim nirah al admas haish hahu siman hetrachek or hashchina mimenu. And then what happens when it is absent from them? What happens? Their intelligence wanes, their bodies deteriorate, and their beauty fades. And the effect of the disappearance of the divine light became noticeable in every individual. Basically, when we are connected with Hashem, when His Ruach, when His Shekhinah, when His divine presence is with us and resides on us, then what? then there's an outward beauty. There's a luster, ziv, hadar, all these beautiful things. But when, and it affects us in all aspects of our lives, but when there is something which causes it to be removed, then what happens? When it's absent, then the beauty fades and the bodies deteriorate and the effect of the disappearance becomes known and becomes revealed and seen to all. And then the tzara'as and the nega'im are not physical ailments, but rather they're spiritual reactions to a withdrawal of Kedusha and of Hashem's Shechina from ourselves and from our homes. And this explains Rav Avram Shor in the Sefer Lekach V'Halibov is a great present. He says, "V'hinei bazeh muvan ki inyan ha-nega'im hu be'emes matana gedola." He says, in this we see that what? It's really a great present, this idea of nega'im, these afflictions on our home. Lo mechmat ha-matmoniot, not because of the treasures that we find, because the emorim, they buried them here. Rak davar zeh moreh al goldel kedushatam u'malatam va'al hashkacha nifla'ah va'ashra'at ha-shechina she'yeh betocham. He says, why is it so amazing? Because it shows us of our greatness and the Kedusha and the levels that we have and that we can attain. And on this amazing hashkacha, this amazing relationship and presence that Hashem has within us. Our bodies and our clothing and our homes are spiritual entities. And the Kedusha and the Shechina is really their life force. And so when they are withdrawn and when they are removed, there is a reaction, a spiritual illness, which lets us know that they're missing something quintessential. They're sick. And it's for that reason that only the Kohen can declare and can treat the tzaras. Not a doctor and not a chacham. Because this reaction has nothing to do with the physical world that a doctor or that a wise man may treat. Its cause and its treatment are spiritual ones, and therefore it's only the Kohen who could treat it. And Rav Avram Shor highlights in this a very important lesson. He says, "V'yesh kan davar od nekuda, ki b'nigei batim gilsa lanu ha-Torah, ki kedushas ha-adam nitpashet gam al beito." He said there's another very important point that we see in the Negei Batim. They reveal to us that the Kedusha, the sanctity of man, also spreads out to his home. V'yesh kedusha b'kotlei beito. There is kedusha, there is sanctity in what? In the walls of his house. Ki rak mechamad zeh asher kotlei beito heimelim kedusha shayach sheit aveh inyan shel negei batim. He says, only because there is sanctity in the home that such a reaction can occur when it withdraws. It's only a home that's filled with kedusha and Hashem Shechina that can be affected when it's no longer there, right? Think about this example. Only a person who has money in his bank account can go bankrupt. A homeless person who has nothing, right? He doesn't have anything to lose. He can't go bankrupt. He can't lose anything because there's nothing there. And so therefore, only a home that is filled with Shechina, that the walls are embedded with Kedusha, can have such a reaction as Negei Batim, which is a reaction of the withdrawal of the Shechina, of the withdrawal of Kedusha. V'hinei ha-davar hu kal v'chomer kemo she'omer ha-sfas emes im l'dvar aveira ne'amar. Even mekir tizak v'kafis me'etz v'ananeh. The pasuk in Chavakuk says, when Bnei Yisrael do something wrong, for a stone will cry out from the wall, and a sliver will answer it from its beams. Meaning what? When we do something wrong, it has an effect on our home. The walls cry out. Korot beito me'idot alav. The walls of our houses give testimony. They testify about us. Haynu shemasha oseh shelo kahogen mashir rosham al habayit. That if a person does something that's wrong, it leaves an imprint. It leaves an impression on the house. Harei mida tova meruba asher adam mekadesh et kedushas kotlei beito. B'masim tovim she'oseh v'na'asim mile'im kedusha. And so therefore, conversely, if a person does good things and he acts in an appropriate way, he imbues his house and the walls of his home with kedusha. Umevi l'toch domeim hergashas hakedusha. And he brings into these inanimate objects, the walls of our house, the feeling of sanctity. Va'az kasher yesh davar she'en kedusha sabaya sov laso. And so there, when there is something that the kedusha, the sanctity of their home, cannot tolerate, What happens? He has to send it out. And then what happens? The house then suffers and reacts with a nega because it's something antithetical to this feeling and this aura of Kedusha that was created in the home. And with the withdrawal comes this reaction on the walls, namely the negaim. In fact, the Chasam Sofer writes in his drashos, ki dilaka negaim einu ba'im b'kol bayis. He says, the negaim, these afflictions, they don't come in every home. Rak bebayit shel adam hamisnaheg bekdusha. The negaim can only come in the house of a man who acts with sanctity. V'lachein omer Chasam Sofer hu omer, kinnega nerali bebayis. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer is medayik in the psukim that when a person comes to the Kohen, he doesn't say, Kohen, there's an affliction on my home, but he says, kinnega, right? He says, it seems as if maybe there is an affliction. Because he doesn't want to come to the Kohen haughty and saying, look, I have an affliction on my home. Which is a sign that what? My house is a home of sanctity. I was able to achieve such levels. It's a sign of the level of Kedusha in his home. And that's what the Negei Batim. And we see from the Negaim that afflict a person's home that the level of sanctity they can reach and contain. It's not only man and his actions when can be holy, but his home can be holy as well. Each with the ability to affect the other. Man has the ability to imbue his home with Kedusha. And when there is sanctity in the home, it has the ability to affect man. When Yaakov Avinu leaves Be'er Sheva and sets out for Haran, Rav Hirsch tells us, Yaakov goes forth in order to establish a Jewish home. And to achieve this, he needs only the resources inherited in his own personality. Because what happens with Yaakov? Yaakov ran away from Esav. He left everything for Esav because why? He wanted to prove basically to Esav that he didn't take the Bechorah because he was seeking any material advantage. Thus, Rav Hirsch continues, begins the story of Yaakov. For everything that follows revolves around the establishment of that home. Which is very interesting. Rav Hirsch says that Yaakov leaving Be'er Sheva and going to Haran is going out to establish the Jewish home. Yaakov was the first to give the expression to the idea that God is to be sought within the home. He was the first to articulate the profound of Beis Elokim, Beis Kael, the house of God, which essentially means the sphere in which man blossoms and thrives, the place to which he brings all that he acquires and which he acts and builds his life. That sphere is the greatest and nearest place for the revelation of God. Yaakov fulfilled in his life what Noah had envisioned at the new beginning of human history. Whereas the culture of Yefes ennobles man's soul through the sense of beauty, the mission of shame is to pitch tents in which the Shekhinah may dwell. Yaakov basically introduced the concept that a Beis Elokim is not just a Beis HaMikdash, it's not just a shul or a Beis Medrash, but the home. And that is where man blossoms and thrives. And as Rav Hirsch says, that is the greatest and nearest place for the revelation of God. And so, what does Yaakov do in this place where he builds his first home? The pasuk tells us, Perek Chavches, pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, vayasa me'rash asav, vayishkav v'makom ha'hu. He takes some of the stones of the place, and he arranges them around his head, so that while he sleeps, no man and no beast should come and should attack him. He protects himself with a fence so that the animals would not come. And he goes to sleep and he has a dream. He sees in his dream that there's a ladder standing on this earth but reaching the heavens. And the malachim are going up and down and Hashem speaks to him. And when Yaakov wakes up, he says, Vayomar, Manu Rahamakom Hazeh, Ein Zeki Im Beis Elokim Vizashar HaShemayim. He says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. And Rav Hirsch comments, he says, this new awareness and the new demands that it brought with it are what inspired him the feeling of awe and fear. How awesome is this place? What has been shown to me here is that is none other than the house of God, a gate to heaven. Life on earth can be God's house, a house in which God takes up residence. When the angels ascend and seek God in heaven, they have to descend to find him on earth among men. Every house that is a home to such a life is a gate to heaven, a gate through which man enters to cleave to the Shekhinah. It represents a perfect union of the earthly and heavenly. How awesome and amazing is it that our homes can be a portal for the Shekhinah. It's a Beis Elokim, a place where Hashem resides. Our homes can have a ladder to Shemayim, which allows us to climb to the heavens, reaching great heights in spirituality and Kedusha. What is needed to achieve this is what Yaakov Avinu showed us. We need to protect our homes. We need to place stones around our heads so that the animals and that other destructive forces don't get in. Rav Biederman, on a Sefer in Chanukah, he brings down such a fascinating point. And he says, 40 days after the waters of the Mabul stopped, Noach sends ravens to see if the waters have subsided. And the raven didn't go, so what does he do? He sends a dove. But the dove comes back. There's nowhere for the dove to go. So he waits a little longer, and then what does he do? He sends the dove again. And then this time, what does the dove do? He returns with an olive branch. And with this, Noach knows that the waters have subsided and they can now leave the Teva. And the question is, from where did the dove get this olive branch, right? We know that the world had just been destroyed. Where on earth, if the waters are being subsided, how on earth could something already have sprouted and now we have already the point that we have actually an olive branch? And the Medrash says, Lamdeinu shehevya ole migan Eden. Where did the dove get this branch from? He got it from Gan Eden. And the Ramban questions the words of the Medrash. You know, according to this, how would Noach know that the waters were subsided, right? We know that the Mabul didn't go into Gan Eden. So how on earth does this olive branch that came from Gan Eden, which never had the Mabul to begin with, how is that a proof for us that the waters have subsided? And the Ramban answers, he says, V'ulai hayu sha'arav skurim shelo yikansu sham hamayim ukasher kalu hamayim iftechu. He says, perhaps the gates to Gan Eden were closed so that the waters would not penetrate, the waters would not enter Gan Eden, and now that the waters have subsided, the gates to Gan Eden are once again open. And from the fact that the gates were open, Noach understood that the water subsided. Because obviously, if the dove would have not been able to enter Gan Eden, which would have been closed if the waters were still there. And Rav Biederman explains, V'lamdu mikan chachmei ha-musar, the chachmei ha-musar learn from this, d'sheh b'sha'ah sheyesh mabul ba'olam, at the time when there's a mabul in the world, when there's a deluge, when there's great flood, tzarich lenol afilu et sha'arei Gan Eden. We have to close, we have to lock even the gates of Gan Eden. Ki af makom kadosh kazeh, hu b'sakana ayidei shitafon me'amayim hazeidonim, ve'in etza ki'im lenol et ha-sha'arim al man'ol u'bereach. He says that at such a time, even such a holy place like Gan Eden is in a sakana. It's in a place of danger, and therefore we need to lock the gates with a lock and a key, with a lock and a latch. We can't just leave them open. V'achina mi kasher mi b'chutz taskel chere v'aish bo eres mi kocho shel ha'yetzer hara. And therefore, when there's craziness going on outside, when there's swords and the fire is burning from the strength of the yetzer hara, Sarich ha'adam lizgur et beito b'shmira b'sulesha lo tuchal hatuma likanes p'nima. Man must what? He has to close off his house and watch his house. That what? That the tuma, that the impurity cannot penetrate, can't come inside. Ki beiso shel Yehudi domel l'gan Eden v'zakuk l'shmira v'torah. Because what? The house of a Jew is like a Gan Eden. V'lo od Ela sheyesh l'gdor g'deirim v'siyagim la'amo b'peret k'dei shechalila lo yikashel v'inazeik shum b'ri'a min haruchos haraos hametrakshos uba'os la'olam. He said, not only that, but we have to make fences and guards to stand on the outside so that nothing, no danger, no destruction can penetrate into our homes and hurt us. We have to create these fences and these safeguards so that the Yetzer Hara doesn't find a way into our homes. The Pasuk in Echa, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes, writes, Tumasa b'shuleha, that her impurity is in her hands, the bottom of her garment. Rabbi Biederman asks, why specifically is the Tumah found in the hems and not in any other part of the body or any part of the garments? And he writes, Ela hadavar dome lechayat. He gives a beautiful mashal. He says it's similar to a tailor, ha'oreg talit na'eh, that he's weaving a beautiful talis, a shawl. V'shachachla asot imra chazaka b'shule ha'beged, k'dei shelo yifarmu kol ha'chute ha'ariga. And he forgets to finish off the garment with a strong hem, so that what? The strings, the threads, don't fray from the beautiful weaving. V'kasher lavash halokeach et hatalis pa'mayim v'shalosh. So what happens if after the person wears the garment two or three times, if tehuv and if redu kol achutim, it opens up and all the threads come apart. U'magaram lo lavo lidekach. And what's the cause of this? Shelo kasher o'min et achutim b'shulei abegen. Because what? He didn't finish off the garment. He didn't make those knots. He didn't create a hem. And he says, what's the nimshal? What? How does he see this? He says, it's like a person who keeps all the taryag mitzvos that are hinted to in the talis, into this beautiful shawl. Ach im yishkach la kasher et achutim basof habeged al yidig darim v'sayagim shomosif medilea kidei shelo yavo chalila lidei michshol. But if a person forgets to what? Finish off the garment. He forgets to make the hem. He doesn't make the gedarim and the siyagim, the fences, and add to it so that what? He doesn't come to a michshol, to a stumbling block. Azei lo yimalei melahafsid et kol yigyaso. He's not going to be able to stop losing all of his efforts to performing all the mitzvot as he did. Because in the end, it's going to fall apart. And all his effort and everything he tried to do will be for naught. And this is what the Pasuk in Echa is telling us, that the Tumah is in her hands. Because the Tumah, the impurity, is contingent on the hem. The finishing off, the sealing off of something. Because only if a person makes these siyagim, makes these gedarim, these boundaries, these fences, he will be able to attain kedusha and to push away the tuma and to not allow the tuma to penetrate. And because of the great sanctity of the Jewish home, we not only have to guard it and to put fences up, we have to be careful what we bring in. And Rav Biederman, he gives a beautiful mashal to a poor, destitute man who would collect money, and he would barely be able to sustain himself. And once he decides, you know, I'm getting older, I'm going to a shadchan. He goes to a shadchan and he says, you know, shadchan, can you please find me a kalana v'chasuda? Please find me a wonderful bride. And he says, you know, and in exchange, I'm going to provide this girl, this bride, with a large, beautiful house. And the shadchan looks at him like he's crazy. You know, you are a pauper. You beg to get a piece of bread. You have no food. You have no money. You have nothing. And how on earth can you give this beautiful bride that you want to receive a beautiful home? And but the poor man takes it upon himself to do this. So how does he do it? You know, this, he's a little bit of a trickster of a guy, and he goes around begging and collecting and begging until finally he amasses 100 gold coins, which is quite a sum. And with it, what does he do with the sum? He approaches one of the wealthiest men and he asks him, you know what? I just want one thing. Can I please hang a nail in your house? I will pay you for this nail 100 gold coins, which was an exorbitant sum. But obviously the guy, the rich businessman, he brushes him off. This is ridiculous. But this guy is persistent and he comes to him every single day, day in and day out, asking him, please, I just want a nail in your home. One nail. I'll pay you 100 gold coins. And finally, after days and days, he finally agrees. And especially because this man is going to give him an exorbitant amount, 100 gold coins, just for one nail in his home. So they make a deal, and they write, and they sign a contract, a shtar, and the poor man goes home happy, because now he finally has a nail in the rich man's home. And a few hours later, the poor man knocks on the rich man's door, and he says, "Can I please hang my hat on your door, on the nail that I bought?" And obviously they open the door, and they allow him in, because the nail belongs to him. And the next day, this poor man comes at the early hours of the morning, of the night. In the middle of the night, early hours of the morning, and he asks to put something else. But obviously they can't push him off because he has the contract. He owns this nail. And the family is forced to live with this, as there's nothing to do to undo the situation. What's done was done. The father signed a contract, and this poor man owns this nail in their home. And finally, one day, the poor man comes and he asks to hang a bag on the nail. And after a few hours, the house starts to stink. The stench is unbearable. There is nothing they can do. And they realize that what? He put a dead, rotting animal in that bag. But there was nothing to do, as the nail belonged to the poor man. Till finally what happens? The rich man and his family are forced to leave their home because they could not live with the smell anymore. What's the nimshal? The nimshal, who's the poor man? The yetzer hara. He entices us. "Just open a small crack in your home for me, that I can put something small there. It's not a big deal really at all." And at first, you know, we push him away. "Come on, leave me alone." And the satan comes back and he pleads again and again until finally the person says, "Ugh, I'll just give him the nail. It will give me some menucha. I'll have some, you know, rest." But in reality, what is he doing? He's giving the Yetzer Hara a hold on his home. First, he lets go of a small fence, and the Satan hangs his hat there, or other small things. But with time, the Satan brings all types of treif into this house, which the man cannot stand up to. He brings in the dead animal, and there's nothing he can do. In the end, the man is completely under the power of the Yetzer Hara, and he's lost everything. Like the Gemara in Shabbos, Hey, Amabet says, "Kach umanato shel Yetzer Hara." This is the craft, the omanas of the Yetzer Hara. Hayom omer lo ase kach. Today he says, blur the lines a little. You know, get rid of this thing. It's something extra. It's a fence. It's not really what God intended. It's not the essential part of the mitzvah, etc. Ulamachar omer lo ase kach. Ad she omer lo avoda zara v'holech v'oseh. Till finally he comes to the point that he gets him. Do a little this, do a little this. He blurs the lines, he takes down the fences, and then what happens? He gets him to worship Avodah Zarah. And the Greeks actually recognize this. They recognize the power of the Jewish home and the power to keep out the outside influences. And therefore, the Rambam, in his Igeres Hashmad, he says that the Greeks decreed that the Jewish people had to keep their doors open, because they recognized that they could not permeate the Jewish home and they could not have an effect on the Jewish people as long as the doors were closed, as long as there were no breaks and there was no way for them in. So keeping the walls of the home intact and guarding it from outside influences is actually the job that's entrusted to the Jewish mother. The Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Ches, tells us, "Shma b'ni Musar avicha, v'alti tosh torasi mecha." Listen, my child, to the Musar of your father, and do not leave the Torah of your mother. And Rashi there comments, "Shma b'ni Musar avicha, ma shenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe b'chtavu ba'al peh." What's the Musar of avicha? It's the Torah that Hashem gave to Moshe, the Torah shebechtav, the Torah shebaal peh. And what's the Torah simecha? These are the divrei sofrim that what? That they were mechadish, that they added and they made fences and safeguards to the Torah. Rav Shor in his Sefer Alakach Valibov, he quotes an idea that he heard from Rav Huttner, and he says, "Ki yesh bris avos ubris imahos." There is a bris, there's a covenant with the fathers and a covenant with the mothers. And each group has its own unique job, its own unique work. Koach ha'avos hakadosh hu ba'aseh tov. The koach, the power, the job of the avos were ba'aseh tov, in taking action and doing good. Hamasorah shel ha'avos midor lador. And this is their Masorah, their inheritance from generation, what the tradition from generation to generation. Koach ha'avos l'msorah Yerusha levneihem achrayhem. Their job, their strength is to give a Yerusha, an inheritance to their children and the generations to follow. Mesorah shel Torah, v'derech avodas Hashem. Giving them over the Torah and a way to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ha'imahos, but the mothers, yesh lahem ha'avodah shel sur meira. What's the job of the mothers? Not the active of doing good, but the sur meira, keeping away from the bad. L'ra'os ulahavchin bein ra l'tov, to be able to distinct, to see and to distinguish between good and bad. Ulishmor es chomos habayis, and to what? To protect the walls of the home. Sheyishar bekedushato, so that it should stay in its kedusha and its sanctity. V'lo yaviu zarim v'hashpaos zarim l'toch habayis, and not to bring foreigners and outside influences into the home. And this is precisely the great treasure hidden in the Negei Batim. Hashem is sending us a message that something has infiltrated your home. There is a break in the wall, a break in the Kedusha, and thus a Nega appears. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Saras, Im chazar bo yitayer habayis, v'mamar birsh o od sh'otig tabayit mishtanin kol Ha'or shebebeiso shehu yoshev v'shochev aleihem. Im chazar bo yitaru. Yitaher. V'im amad b'sho ad sheyisrafu mishtinan ha'begadim she'alav. Im chazar bo yitaru. V'im amad b'sho ad sheyisrafu mishtane od v'yitzhtara v'yeh muvdal. So what does the Rambam say? Basically, what happens? He says, Taras is a process. He says, if a person gets the message, person gets nigaim, he has affliction on his home, he sees, my goodness, there's an infiltration, and he understands the message, he fixes the problem, good. And he can purify it, and he goes on from there. But if not, it spreads, and it affects his possessions, and his clothing, and finally his body. But the message of the nigei batim is, there's something wrong. There's something coming in. There's something in your home that shouldn't be here. And it's going to start out with affecting the walls. But if you don't take care of it, the effect is going to be far reaching. It's going to go to your possessions. It's going to go to your clothing. And it's going to go to your body. It's going to literally bring down your home. Part of the purification process is, as the Pasuk tells us, you have to take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the crimson thread, and the live bird. And what does he do with it? And he shall dip them into the blood of the slaughtered bird and into the fresh water, and he should sprinkle it onto the home 7 times. And the Meshech Chachma explains that the sprinkling on the house specifically refers to the mashkof, the doorpost. And I think the reason for this is clear based on what we have said until now. What caused the nega, the departure of the kedusha from our homes? The infiltration, the outside influences, and the tuma that seeps in through our doors and openings in our walls. It is therefore when we try to rectify the situation and purify our homes, we specifically sprinkle it on the mashkof, on the doorposts, on the openings into our homes. And so while the nigei batim may seem like a punishment, it is really an unbelievable treasure and a gift that Hashem is giving us, reminding us of the kedusha that our homes have and the great ability we have to bring the Shekhinah down into it. It is our actions that can affect our homes, and our homes that can affect our actions. But if we want our homes to be a Beis Elokim, to be a Shaar HaShemayim, we must guard it with stones, as Yaakov did, and be careful of what we allow into it and what may be trying to infiltrate. And that way, our homes can be a Mikdash Ma'at, a place where we can engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we can thrive and grow as people.